Hey everyone, welcome to the Troy Christian High School Chapel Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our Chapel YouTube channel and follow our Chapel Instagram account. Those two places will be the easiest way to check out what's coming up, as well as find some bonus content from our speakers and worship team. Most importantly, I hope the following message challenges and encourages you to grow in your relationship with God as you learn to love God and love others better. Enjoy. I'm excited about this series of intentional life, being intentional in your personal life. And just to be honest with you, I think that this might be one of the most important concepts, lessons that you learn while you're at Troy Christian. And if you learn it early, I think you're going to save a lot of regret and frustration in life. Not just today's, but just this series as a whole, because here's a reality about life. I don't know a single person who has gone into life seeking out to make a mess of their life or their relationships or their finances. And yet I do know a number of people who that has become their reality, that they're living in just brokenness, broken relationships, broken situations. And as you think about that, it's like, well, what's the difference between them and anyone else? And I can tell you it's not because they're any less smart than anybody else, or it's not because they didn't want good things for themselves any less than anyone else did, but there's this principle at play in all of our lives. Andy Stanley calls it the principle of the path. It's direction, not intention, determines destination. Your direction, not your intention, determines destination. It's not what you intend to do, hope to do, wish to do, or even plan to do that's going to ultimately take you somewhere. It's the decisions that you're making that are actually taking you to a place that you're going to go. A number of years ago, my wife and I went four-wheeling in the northern part of Tennessee, these Tennessee mountains. And it was, we went with some family. We had four-wheelers. We put them on a trailer and truck. We went down there. We ended up in this like kind of parking areas, like grass camping parking area. And we unload the four-wheelers. We get on. My wife is on the back of the four-wheeler. She pulls out a map that shows this expanse of territory that is hundreds and hundreds of acres, over 600 miles of ATV trails that we're about to go explore. And as we look at the map, we quickly realize that the trails in this area are all labeled by numbers. But there's no like apparent logic or order to like where these things are at. It's just like numbers all over the place. And we were kind of like, what's the deal with that? We asked somebody and they said, well, we actually just like numbered the trails as they were built, but there's no like, we just decided like, let's build a trail there and we'll just number it the next available number that's there. As a result of that, the first trail that there was one trail that took us from where we were at to the trail system as a whole. And that was trail number 27. You'll understand way later why I remember that number these years later. And so we're like, okay, deal, let's go with it. So we went up trail 27. We got to where that trail ended into like this dirt, mud, cul-de-sac kind of thing. And there's like three or four other trails that branch off of that. So we get the map back out and we take a look and we say, okay, well, let's head this way. And so we went down trails and that's what we did like for the majority of the day, is just kind of going through creeks and over rocks and like all kinds of stuff. It had been raining, so it was super muddy. We were flipping mud all over each other with the four-wheelers and just having a blast. We look at the map at one point and we say, oh, there's this like waterfall over on the clear other side of this area. Let's go check that out. So we do. We kind of map out, here's the way to get there, and we start heading that way. We eventually arrive at the waterfall, and it's not like this big giant waterfall. It's actually like cascading rocks with like this stream that's like going over it. So you're actually able to like sit down and slide down it. It was awesome. We had a blast. And we get to the point where we're like, okay, let's start heading back because we've been out for several hours now. Let's start heading back. So we get on the four-wheelers. We kind of take a look at the map, and at that moment, the sky just got black. I mean, just dark, dark. These storm clouds started rolling in. And we look up at the sky and I think all together just thought the same thing, like, this is not good. Like, we've got to get out of here quick. And so we look, okay, what's the most direct path to get back to where we need to go? And we kind of map that out and we're going as fast as we can, which on some trails wasn't very fast because they're rocky and you have to kind of navigate stuff. And all of a sudden, the sky just kind of unleashed on us. I mean, just downpour, torrential downpour. Like, you could barely see 10 feet in front of you. And then it started thundering. You know that thunder that, like, shakes your bones? Like, when it hits and it, like, scares you? Like, it will shake your house. That kind of thunder. And then it started lightning. Now, keep in mind, we're, like, in the mountains of Tennessee, surrounded by trees. We're as close to the source of that lightning as we can possibly be in that area, right? The fear and the anxiety started to creep up, like, oh, we're in trouble. Like, we're in danger. We've got to get out of here quick. And then we would go to the end of a trail, and we had decisions to make. So we would pull the map back out to kind of figure out our bearings and which trail we needed to take next. And every time we did that, the map would get wet. And about two or three times into doing that, the map just started falling apart. I know Mr. Mitchell probably thought, why do you not have that in a baggie or like some kind of protection? Like, listen, we're not as smart, right? But so the map falls apart and we're left on our own gut intuition of like, how do we get back? Meanwhile, it's raining harder, the thunder's happening more, the lightning's happening more, and we're terrified. And so we're just kind of making our way through this trail system. Eventually, we get back to that first, like, branch cul-de-sac trailhead that we had arrived at. The problem was we couldn't remember the number of the trail. There was one trail that took us back to that parking area, and we could not remember the number. And so we're like, I this is the best guess. Let's just go this way. So we start heading back, and the lightning increases, and they're screaming, and there's crying, and my wife's telling me to suck it up. And I'm just, what do you do in those moments, right? And as we go further, I'm thinking to myself, it dawns on me, this feels like it's taking longer than it did when we initially came into this path this way. Like, it feels like it's just taking longer, and I feel like we're driving faster to get back. Are we on the right path or not? Like, should we turn around and head back and choose a different path? Is it too late? I feel like we've gone too far to turn around now. And then up ahead, I see kind of this clearing in the path. And so we just gun it for the clearing and go, and it opens up, and there's the trailer and the car and that parking area. And we were so thrilled. Like, we're cheering. We're so excited because we were terrified and needing to get out of there quick. Now, here's the reality of what took place in there. We did not end up back at that trailer, back at that parking area, because we wanted it really bad. We didn't end up back at that area because we had hopes and dreams and desires to end up there. The only reason we ended up there is because, luckily so, honestly, it's not because I'm like a fantastic navigator, but luckily so, we just happened to choose a path and go down a path that's where that path ended up. We could have easily had those same desires and intentions and plans and hopes and dreams, but chosen a different path, and we would have ended up in a different destination. As this same thing is true of us in our life. It's not our hopes and dreams and desires. It's not even our plans necessarily that are going to get you to where you want to go. Ultimately, it's the decisions that you're making that are going to take you somewhere. This is what we're talking about when we talk about an intentional life. It's not just hoping for the best or planning for the best. It's actually making intentional decisions to take you a certain place. And this is why some people have made a mess of their life, even with the best hopes, even with the best intentions of going somewhere good and healthy and helpful for them. They've made decisions that have taken them somewhere else. Now, I'm not saying at all that everybody who's in a rough patch or a difficult season in life or whose life has become kind of a mess is there purely because they've made bad decisions. I think after this past year, we know things happen to us that are outside of our decision-making, outside of our control, and that can result in job losses, sickness. There's all kinds of things that happen that may not be a direct result of the decisions that we're making. But to say that is the experience of all of life, that we are just victims of the things that happen to us, undermine the power that our decision-making has in taking us somewhere in life. And even when those things do happen to us, you still have a decision to make. You have a decision to make on how you're going to respond in those situations, and that decision is ultimately going to take you somewhere. The problem is our path in life is not as clear as a path in the woods. It's not a clearly defined, well, obviously marked path where it's evident when we've stepped off into the weeds or not. And that's because our path in life moving forward is being created and shaped and formed by the decisions that we're making every single day. There's a, as we think about the path that we have, the future that's in front of us, oftentimes when we think about those things, where our life is headed, we think about career, we think about legacy, we think about where we're gonna live and who we're gonna marry and what family life is gonna be like. And then there's a lot of pressure and attention put on us to kind of figure that out and figure it out early because like you need to get going on this. And then when you combine that with like, okay, what's God's plan for my life? What's God's will for my life? It can start to feel like God's will, God's plan for your life is starting to look like a target with a bullseye that what college you choose and what career you have and who you marry and where you live and what car you drive all have this like center bullseye. And if you don't choose those correctly, if you miss the bullseye, then you're gonna miss out on all that God has for you. But the reality is Scripture doesn't really say a lot about trying to figure all of that stuff out. Matter of fact, what it does say, it says things like, whatever you do, in word or in action, do in the name of the Lord. Whatever you do. It's like Paul, when he's writing that in Colossians, in that whole section, he's actually talking about what it looks like to live as new creations in Christ. And all of that, 90% of that is how we treat people. And then there's this one kind of verse that says, hey, whatever you do, it's kind of like he was asked, hey, Paul, what should I do with my life? And he goes, hey, whatever, just do whatever. But whatever you choose to do, can you do it as an offering to God? Whatever you choose to do, whatever you choose to do, can you do it as an offering to God? And here's the great thing about that. There is, that situation applies to the college you pick, the career you pick, the spouse that you pick. It applies to where you live. Can you, God, this is my best. I offer to you. This is the career I'm picking. I think this is the best. I'm offering it to you. Yeah, this is the spouse that I want to marry. I think this is the best. I'm offering it to you. But that also applies to how you treat your classmates, how you treat your colleagues. God, this is my best. I'm offering it to you. Whatever you do, can you offer it to God? It also impacts how you apply yourself to the work in front of you. God, this is my best. I offer it to you. It applies to how you talk about people. God, this is my best. I offer to you. Paul's saying, whatever you do, can you offer it as an offering to God? That's the direction. Scripture doesn't give a lot of direction on what you should do for a living or where you should live, but it talks a lot about how you treat people, what kind of person you're becoming as you work and interact with others. And it seems like God's plan for your life includes a lot of freedom. Like he created you with all of these strengths and weaknesses and burdens and convictions and natural draws and tendencies towards certain activities. And then he's given you the opportunity to create and to enjoy and to try those things. And all of that can be in the center of God's will because ultimately God is more concerned with the type of person you're becoming than what you do for a living or where you live. God is ultimately concerned more with the type of person you're becoming, who you are becoming, than where you live. And the question in front of us as a result of that is, are we willing to trade what God ultimately wants for us for what we immediately want for ourselves? Are we willing to trade what God ultimately has for us in our future for what we immediately want for ourselves? There's no better, I think, story that illustrates this in Scripture than Jacob and Esau. There's two brothers, twins born right after each other. Esau is born first, and in their tradition, the firstborn had certain rights, their birthright. And among other things, that included a larger share of the inheritance. It included leadership in their family. And it says Esau was willing to trade that. He traded that to his brother for a bowl of soup, which seems like super strange to us, that like you would trade an inheritance for a bowl of soup. It probably doesn't sound too strange to the wrestlers who've been cutting weight all season long and who are like, yo, I would trade just about anything for some food right now. But it seems strange to us, right? Like, why would you do that? But the reality is we trade our birthright for much less all the time. Our birthright as sons and daughters of God is to live life to its fullest, to find peace and joy in what we experience. It's to become more like the Father as we follow the Son's lead. And as sons and daughters, we're called to live into the identity of God's family, which really has everything to do with the type of person that we're becoming. As identity in God's family, are we becoming more loving, forgiving, faithful, generous, honest? Paul says these are the inheritance of the Spirit of God. He says against these things, there's no law. There's no reason with these things. There's no reason to feel guilty or ashamed. There's no weight to carry with these things. There's no burden that you have to carry as you pursue these kinds of things, which provide you the most freedom to experience joy and peace in life. Not only that, but who you become does have a great impact on what you can do. Right? As you pursue being more loving, people are more willing to want to work with you. As you pursue being more honest, people are willing to provide more space for trust for you, to give more responsibility to you. But we are willing to trade those things all the time for digital likes and fitting in with a crowd. We trade the opportunity to be more loving for the immediate gratification of feeling superior as we put somebody else down. We trade the opportunity to become more generous for the immediate gratification of getting what I want now. We trade the opportunity to become more honest for the immediate gratification of avoiding the pain from the consequences of our decisions and actions. And I think one of the reasons why we're so willing to make these trades now is because our view of the future is focused on the wrong thing. When we focus on our future as what job am I going to do, what function am I going to fill, where am I going to live, who am I going to marry, it's harder to see the correlation, the connection between my decisions that affect my character now and how that will affect that outcome. But when we begin to see our future shaped ultimately by what God is concerned most about, we see it as, this is the type of person I'm becoming. And every choice we make is a step in a direction that is ultimately defining the kind of person we're becoming. Your decision to be honest now is moving you towards a kind of person who is honest in the future. Your decision to be generous now, to be faithful now, is moving you towards a person who is becoming those things. And guys, there's gonna be definitely some neutral decisions in your life. There's gonna be there's a lot of decisions that you make on a daily basis that have no bearing on your character. They're just normal, simple, everyday decisions. But there are gonna be a ton of decisions that you've already made and that you're making today and you will make tomorrow that are moving you either towards or away from who God ultimately wants you to become. And the question is, are you willing to trade what God ultimately wants and what I really believe what you guys ultimately want for yourself for the immediate now? So what are you gonna do in those moments of decision making? I think the key to that is a clear picture of who you want to become. Who are you becoming? Who do you wanna become? The clearer the picture is, the easier it is to discern whether the decision you're about to make is moving you toward that or away from it. If you understand who you're trying to become, who God has called you to become, and who you are trying to become, when you define that, you know whether the decision you're about to make is moving you toward or away from that. Now, I've already thrown out some ideas about what God is calling us into as sons and daughters, to be more loving, more forgiving, more faithful, more generous, more honest. And God promises that there is peace and there's joy in those things, but let me ask you a question just for you to wrestle with over the next few minutes. In light of that, who do you want to become? What kind of person are you going to become? Because ultimately, that's way more important than what you do. Seniors, I think if you leave TC without wrestling with that question, you're putting yourself at risk of having great intentions for a good future, but making decisions that take you somewhere else. And if If you're wrestling with this, just think ahead for yourself. Students, what kind of person do you want to be as a 20-year-old, as a 30-year-old, as a 40-year-old? What kind of person do you want to become? Staff, you're like easy on the age thing. I get it. Let's go project way long, right? What kind of 80-year-old do you want to be? What kind of 90-year-old do you want to be? And listen, if that's not clear for you, students, if it's not clear for you what kind of 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old you want to be, just look to the people who are ahead of you in life. Who do you admire? Who do you admire? Who do you look up to? What kind of person are they? Do they have more joy or do they have more anger? Are they filled more with stress in their life or more with peace? Are they filled more with love or hatred? Have they been more forgiving or more bitter? What kind of person do you want to become? And I'm just going to give you a moment here just to wrestle with that. And I just encourage you to write some of that stuff down, because the clearer that picture is for you, the more likely you are to actually head in that direction and end there. So I'm just going to give you a moment just to wrestle with that and write some thoughts and ideas down. Maybe spend some time in prayer in light of who God wants you to be. What kind of person are you wanting to become? As you think about those things and you look at those things in front of you, the question that you should ask yourself before any decision that you make is, am I willing to trade the ultimate for the immediate? Am I willing to trade that for something that's fleeting and momentary and small? And what hangs in the balance of that decision for you is ending where you want to be or going down a path that you never intended to, because the decisions that you're making are taking you there. Because it is way more important for you to wrestle with who you are becoming than what you do. And you have a lot of freedom to explore what you do with your life and still be in the center of God's will. Let me pray for you and we'll wrap up. Father, thank you so much for your word, scripture. God, that you have given us wisdom, and when we ask for it, you give freely. And God, we need that in our life as we think about the types of people that we are becoming, where you are taking us in life, God. God, give us discernment. Surround us with people that will help us see our blind spots and help us move forward with that. God, we love you, and we're so grateful that you have given us the opportunity to wrestle with these things and explore these things because you love us. So we commit our path forward to you. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.